Good morning. I'm Dan. I'm one of the pastors at Watermark. I've been on staff since January. If I do look familiar, I was here about 13 years ago and grew up in the area. I know I haven't quite met all of you yet, but I do know I've known many of you, several of you at least, for quite a long time. So good to be here with you this morning. I was here about 5 or 6 weeks ago and really enjoyed being here at the South Creek campus. And it's really good to be back again. So thanks for having me. Let's pray as we get ready to dive into the message today. God, we thank you so much for the ability to gather together. I know it's not quite the same as it was several months ago, but we're just grateful for the opportunity to gather together. Thank you that things seem to be kind of creeping back to normal, tech issues and all. So God, we just thank you for those kind of glimpses of normalcy we're getting. We pray for just ongoing health and protection for our church, for everyone. And God, thanks for the opportunity to gather and study your word this morning for a few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prayer should be kind of hard work, I think. And sometimes it gets so reduced to what's really easy. I don't know about you, but if you've been around the church for a while, any church really, and you pray with people, you probably hear what feel like kind of easy or cheap prayer requests. And I know for me, I'm in these types of groups regularly. It sounds like I'm in an ocean or something, Trevor. I don't know if you're, I know you're like a very experienced sound guy and everything. Not really, but when I can hear myself like three times, it's like throwing me off a little. But prayers often get reduced to like really easy kind of, I would almost describe them as cheap prayer requests. So like if you've ever been in a group and you're looking for, you know, hey, what do we want to pray about? You'll often get something like, well, my uncle's neighbor's friend has a toenail that's really bothering him. And, you know, we don't really open up sometimes and share legitimate, genuine requests. And it's so frustrating sometimes that, and I've been certainly guilty of it too. We don't really say what we really need. And I think today, as we study the scriptures in Psalms, we're looking at David, who is one of the most amazing figures of the Old Testament. He's a man that's described as being a man after God's own heart, despite many shortcomings. That if you know anything about him, you know that he was kind of a train wreck of a person in a lot of ways. And yet he has kind of this raw honesty that I think God was really pleased with. And so I want to challenge us this morning to pray more realistic prayers, even just personally between us and God. And you know, you can tell sometimes those prayer requests are not really legitimate when like a week later you're like, hey, I've been praying for your uncle's friends, neighbors, or whoever it was. How they doing? Oh, I don't know. You know, that's not maybe, and again, I'm not trying to diminish people like praying about stuff that seems maybe innocuous to other people, but I think you all understand what I'm saying. When you're just kind of coming up with something that's not really meaningful to you, when there's so much that God wants us to come to him with, there's so much that God wants to talk to you about. There's so much that God wants you to talk to him about that I think we often gloss it over. We don't often hear prayer requests like, hey, I've been struggling with being super judgmental. I just think the worst of almost everyone. Hey, I really gossip about everybody at work. As soon as they leave the room, I just talk horribly about them. You don't hear prayer requests like that very often, do you? Hey, I really need some self-control because my Facebook posts, I'm just so nasty and mean and degrading. I know nobody struggles with that, but we don't hear those prayer requests. I don't even know if those internal conversations happen sometimes at all, but we all really could use a dose of reality and just honesty when it comes to praying and just talking to God. And so that's our encouragement this morning. Really, it's about intimacy with God. We all want to be known and we all want to be loved. That's intimacy. We often have one or the other, right? We have intimacy, we have being known where we've been maybe exposed or people find out about us certain things and they reject us. You ever have that where you're getting to know someone, you think things are going well, and then you just get a very clear sense your relationship is done? They don't want anything more to do with you. They found out something. They saw something that they just did not like, and you kind of got shut down. Then the other side of it, where you're not really known, a lot of us with our families, they don't really maybe know us intimately, closely, well, but they do accept us. And we often kind of wonder, like, if they really knew, would they still accept me? Would they still welcome me with open arms? And we all long for intimacy, to be known and accepted. And we have that with our Heavenly Father. That's the beauty, is you already are fully known and fully accepted. Isn't that a great gift? We don't have that many places in the world. We don't have that. Even if you are really fortunate and have really worked to be an honest person and have healthy relationships, you probably don't have too many people in your life who truly know who you are, like at your essence, and fully accept you. It's a very rare thing. And so the fact that we have that with God, I think, is worth noting, because it's so defining of our relationship with Him, and it gives us so much potential to be so much more honest than we usually are. And so that's kind of our starting point this morning. We're going to take a look, again, at a few of David's prayers, and we start with Psalm 139. We'll throw it up on the screen here. David prays this prayer, "You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways." He just starts out and says, "God, you know me. And obviously you still love me because I know you, and I know that you love me and care about me too." So he starts out and points out he has this intimacy with the Lord that's really unique and that I think we all need to learn from. He says, "Before words on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." He says, "I can't even really wrap my mind around that kind of love, the way that you love me." It's no wonder God calls David a man after his own heart. He gets this intimate love that God is offering. He really understands it, or at least as much as he's able to. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." His first prayer, and the first prayer I want to encourage you to pray, is, "Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord." If you're not used to being able to have honest conversations about yourself, if you tend to gloss over things like many of us do, just praying, "Search me, Lord. Show me what's in me. Illuminate who I am and what is, not just what's wrong with me, but just search me. Show me things that I need to see about myself." Sometimes we think of ourselves so negatively, we really need to see ourselves the way God sees us, to see the good in us. Sometimes the other is true, and we really need to see the sin that's in us. We need to see the shortcomings, the iniquities, as the scripture calls it. And we need to see ourselves more like God sees us, because then we can understand his love for us, and then we can more fully live out our faith in a way that's pleasing to him. And so I want to encourage you with this prayer, "Search me, Lord." All these prayers take an element of trusting God. And so we'll come back to that a little bit later, but keep in mind, it's hard to trust someone you don't trust, right? So it's hard to be honest and open with someone you're not real comfortable with. You wouldn't probably share a lot of your think about for a moment the your most shameful memories, experiences, the most shameful things that you've done or thought or said. You wouldn't want to share those with just anybody, most likely. You wouldn't even want to share those with someone you're really close with, probably. But can you share those with God? Can you say, "God, I want to talk to you about this thing because I have so much shame and so much guilt, so much embarrassment"? That's the kind of things that can come to the surface when you pray, "God, search me. Reveal to myself, reveal to me things that I need to see." God will do that. And it's hard. It's not always easy. But that kind of goes back to the first point, which is, it's easy to pray cheap prayers. It's easy to just kind of say, "Oh, God, thanks for being so forgiving. You're awesome. Like, this is great." And it's a lot harder to say, "God, search me. Show me. Reveal to me the things that I need to see." And that's the kind of prayer David prays. And I think that, if you know David's past, you know he made all sorts of horrible, horrible mistakes. Probably worse than most of us in this room will ever make. And yet, God says he's a man after my own heart. And he doesn't even explain fully what he means by that, but I think part of what we can certainly say made him say that would be this humble spirit to say, God, search me, show me what you want to show me about who I am, about who you want me to be, about my past, about my present, and about my future. Search me, Lord. It's easy to look at others and think of all the ways they need to change. It's easy to look at others and see all the good things about them. But it's so hard to do that about ourselves. It's so hard to have a fairly accurate picture of who we are, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I think that's very true. Searching ourselves with the Holy Spirit, asking God to search us, to reveal things about ourselves to ourselves, to help ourselves be more aligned with Jesus and who he wants us to be, is a great starting point. The next two prayers are really difficult to pray if you don't start there, because the second prayer is a prayer of confession, and it's just simply this: forgive me, Lord. If we don't have any awareness of what we need forgiveness for, we kind of go on living in this place of ignorance, of blindness. And when God shows us what we need to change, we can actually start there with, thank you, God, for showing me that. Forgive me. That's such a simple thing, but it's so missed so often. And it's so profound when you live it out to just say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. Please forgive me. That's so freeing. And I legitimately want you all to experience that freedom of having the weight of your sin lifted off of you, the weight of your shortcomings, of your failures. Because we just carry around, so many of us, like a bunch of luggage. It's like you're walking through the airport with all your family's luggage strapped to your body. And if you just set it all down, you go, oh, that feels so much better. Have you ever been there? Especially when you're running through the airport, which is like my least favorite thing in the entire world. Running to begin with, running through the airport with a whole bunch of luggage is even worse. The only thing that could make it possibly worse is being chased by someone. But other than that, it's about as bad as it can get. And you get there and you're all sweaty, at least I am. And I set all my stuff down. I go, oh, that feels so much better. And I missed my flight, but oh, well, at least I'm done running, sprinting across the airport. But my point is simply this. It feels so much better to get the weight off your shoulders. And some of you, you maybe experienced that when you said the prayer the first time you came to Jesus. Some of you maybe experienced glimpses of that, but when we don't have that honest conversation of saying, God, search me and show me things in myself that need to change, then we miss that step of asking forgiveness and being forgiven. And that's so freeing. That doesn't automatically make everything right with everyone around us. There's still a lot of times issues to work through. It doesn't even take away the consequences, which is part of why we get stuck in this kind of rut of self-disdain and frustration and discouragement so many times. But the reality is, once you're forgiven, you're forgiven. And you don't have to live in that place of regret and sorrow anymore. And it's so freeing. Psalm 32, 30 through 5 says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. He's saying you didn't get rid of it. You didn't hide it. I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Just a little bit before that, I think we have a slide for this too. So the first two verses of this chapter say this: blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. There's freedom in confession. Our Catholic brothers and sisters do this all the time. They go into the confession booth and they share their sin. And they literally experience the voice of forgiveness. We don't do that as much, and so many of us just don't confess anything to anyone, including God. And so the encouragement this morning from David, again, who messed up probably way more than you ever will, is to let God search your heart and ask him for forgiveness and experience the weight being taken off of your shoulders. And if you haven't articulated it even out loud, it takes it to a different level, I think, of freedom. A lot of times we pray in our heads, right? We're driving down the road or we're sitting in bed or wherever we may be, taking a walk. And yet, to say it out loud, so that one, that's my encouragement to you today. If you have done this and you feel like, man, I just still don't feel forgiven, try stating it out loud. Just even if it's in your car by yourself, if you're humiliated about what you have to confess, turn your phone off, make sure there's no one listening, whatever you need to do to have that conversation with God. And just be really candid and explicit and say, God, here's exactly what I'm sorry for. Please forgive me. If you haven't done that, and hopefully you have, but if you haven't, and or it's been a while, and you're really feeling the weight of sin, it might be time to do that. Have that conversation with God. This is something I think we can do again and again and again and continue to experience freedom as we do that. Confess the ugliness. Confess the true nature of what you did, of what you're thinking, of what you said, whatever it may be. Name it. Don't excuse it. Don't pretend. Name it and go for it. You'll feel better. Maybe not right away even, but it helps. I'm not saying you should necessarily shout your mistakes from the rooftops or stand at the door when people are walking into church and tell everyone, you know, everything you did, but telling God is a different story. And you may need to take the next step of even telling someone. Maybe it's a pastor you know. Maybe it's someone in your family that you trust. Maybe it's a friend that you feel confident would honor what you're trying to do. But just speaking it makes such a difference sometimes. There's a prayer that one of our teaching pastors wrote that I wanted to just pause and read together. It might be a little clunky and a little awkward, but the heart of it aligns so much with these scriptures that I thought it would be worth us taking a few moments and behind our masks still try to project as much as we can and pray this prayer of confession together. So would you do that with me? I'm going to give you a moment just to start to read through this, and then we'll start to pray it together out loud. So just go ahead and take a look at that for a moment and begin to just kind of pray this personally, and then we'll read it together. Let's pray this together. There's a second slide as well, and so we'll move into that. And I know, so for some of you, you have memories as a child of doing, you know, corporate readings, corporate prayers, and that's not a good thing. For others of you, this is kind of a new thing, and it may be just a little clunky and awkward to pray all together. But the power of collective prayer is we're all asking God for the same thing at the same time out loud. And so I just want to try it. We'll see if it's horrible. Probably won't do it again anytime soon, but I'm only here once in a great while anyway, so lucky us. But let's ask God. Let me pray for us, and then we'll pray this together, and then we'll wrap up. God, you know our hearts, and you know that this is not an easy subject to think about, talk about, hear about. And yet, God, we know that all of us fall short. We all need your help. We all need your forgiveness and your grace. God, as we make this step of publicly praying together this prayer, regardless of whether it's awkward or uncomfortable or we get the timing just right, would you help us to pray with sincere hearts, and would you hear our prayer as we pray together? Let's pray this prayer together. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we cannot be changed. and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. I hope that you resonate with that, and we'll continue to pray similar prayers on your own. I think it's good to start with that prayer together, to actually articulate out loud this prayer of confession. So that was the heart behind that. It leads us to our final prayer, which is this. It comes from this passage, Psalm 32, 8 and 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. It's very easy to just go through the motions with stuff like this. In fact, I know many Catholic brothers and sisters who go to confession and don't feel any differently when they leave. And I think part of that is it's easy to say words, and it's another thing to have our heart changed. As a pastor, it's always my hope that people won't just come in and feel like they need to feel peer pressure, to act differently, to look the part. It's one of the reasons I have sort of mixed emotions about how we change clothing. In fact, I was just talking to someone before service about how people used to dress up for church, and now it's more casual. And I'm okay with that because I think it's less about looking like you fit in and less about acting and appearing a certain way and more about our hearts. That's what I hope anyway. And I think that's true. I think many of us, when we don't feel like we have to impress people at church, we're not trying to go in and look great and have it all perfect. We're just trying to be real, be ourselves, and be authentic. And I think that's valuable. Now, there's trade-offs for sure in different philosophies, different ways of doing church. But one of the things I hope people experience here is that they're loved and accepted for who they are. That we don't need them to change and be different before they can be a part of our worshiping community. But you hope people don't stay there, that they don't stay stuck, that they continue to have transformation and God continues to change their hearts. That's the hope. Because if you just go into a new church and you start to act like they act and just do what they do and think how they think, you become similar, but a lot of times there's not really change. There's not really transformation. They're just mimicking. And so my hope for you, my hope for me, is that we have the courage to ask God this kind of prayer, to say, God, change me. Change my heart, change my mind, change my life, change my habits, change me. Do you ask God to change you? I know I do all the time. Part of the problem for me is it feels like it doesn't always work, and so it feels frustrating. But I know if I look back over time, God has changed me, and God will continue to change me. And that's true for you as well. So let me encourage you, if you ask and ask and ask, keep asking. Don't give up. It may be time for accountability. It may be time for help, outside help. It may be time for, maybe God will spark some other ideas on how to bring about the change that you desire. Maybe the change you desire isn't even the change God desires, though. So asking that prayer, asking God to change you, is important because he may want to change you in ways that you don't even realize. Maybe the things that are so important to you are not the things that God wants to change, at least not right away. And so that's my encouragement to you, is pray for God to change you. Change me, Lord. Now, if you just go to this prayer, it doesn't have the power and the impact, I don't think, if you skip the heart behind the first two prayers. Search me, Lord, and forgive me, Lord. Because you start at a point of really trying to look within and ask God to illuminate things about you, and then you really go to him out of your need, because we can't forgive ourselves in the same way that God can. It's just a different thing. So there's a freedom in that. And then we change when we ask God to change us. It's not out of a lack of character. It's not out of a lack of something. It's out of this desire for God to turn us into who he wants us to be. It's not a shame-based thing. It's not a guilt-based thing. It's an opportunity to make a bigger impact in life, to really connect with God the way he intended for you to connect with him, and to change his world. the way he wants you to and the way he wants all of us to. And so I think the power of the collective praying that we can do and be transformed in this way is remarkable. I know it's one thing to think about doing this yourself, but think about if all of us were doing these things. If all of us were saying, Lord, search me, forgive me, change me. Lord, search us, forgive us, and change us. It's one of the reasons I love being part of Watermark, and I've been a part of things around here on and off for a long time, is there's people who really believe these things. They really pray these things. They really go after these things. And I think as David was a man after God's own heart, I really think there's so much about Watermark that is a church after God's own heart because we pray these kinds of prayers regularly. And not only pray them, they actually work. I see this lived out in people's lives over and over and over for decades now. People loved me when I was a mess in high school and literally loved me to Jesus. Some of the people that attend this campus were kind to me when I probably, by their account, I probably didn't deserve kindness. They were loving to me. They accepted me. They embraced me and they cared for me. And that transformed my life. There's people in your neighborhood that you work with that need you to pray these prayers. Because the world needs, especially now more than ever, the world needs people transformed by the love of Christ. And I don't really know how to continue to get that kind of transformation without praying these kinds of prayers. Because it's so easy to get stuck. It's so easy to not be like Jesus. It's so easy to be just self-centered and self-focused and critical and negative. Isn't it? I mean, we see that all around us. God's calling us to something different. God's calling you to something different. I think he's calling each of us to be a part of what he's doing in the world. And it starts with transforming you and me. Don't miss what God has for you. Don't think that this is basic Christianity 101 because David was, he wasn't a Christian, he was around before Jesus, but he was a follower of God early on, and he messed up a lot, but he pressed on and he kept going back to God and praying these honest, authentic prayers, and it's part of the reason he was the leader he was the warrior he was pleasing to God because of these things, not that he didn't mess up, that he kept going back to God saying, God, here I am, search me. Forgive me, change me, transform me. So I just want to encourage you, keep pressing on. Keep praying these kinds of prayers. I'm a pastor and I've been a pastor for 20 years, and I still have to remind myself and sometimes force myself to pray these kinds of prayers because it's so easy to just get into the default mode of life and not think about these things, not submit yourself to God, not pursue his transformation. And so again, my encouragement, pray these kinds of prayers. Pray dangerous prayers. Don't just, when it comes time to a prayer request, if you're in a community group or you're in a Bible study or whatever you're doing, don't just go to like the first thing that comes to mind. Really think about what if you have a chance to talk to the king of the universe, what would you talk about? You're going to talk about some dude you never met's toenail? Like, no. I mean, yeah, if it's a legitimate thing, go for it. Pray. But if you're just trying to think of stuff, maybe stop that and really think about, okay, the God of the universe has given you an audience. What do you want to pray about? Maybe pray that we'd actually be transformed. Pray about significant stuff. Really think about it. Let's not just settle for cheap prayers. Let's push ourselves to really engage with the God of the universe who gives us an audience. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't know why, really, but God hears our prayers. Don't waste that opportunity. Let's make the most of it. Let's be transformed. And let's change our world for Christ. Because that's the invitation. That's what he's asking us to do. That's what he's invited us into. And if you think that's boring or just routine, or if that's what, you know, coming to church just feels like it's going through the motions, I suggest we need a reset. And I think this is a great way to do it. Pray bold prayers. Ask God to meet you in unique and powerful ways, and don't settle for cheap prayers. Let's pray. God, you said that you came to give us life in all of its abundance, while the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. Lord, help us to pray bold, challenging, difficult prayers so that we can experience that kind of life that you promised. God, help us to allow you to search our hearts and to ask you to do that. Help us to listen and be obedient. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to ask you for forgiveness regularly. And God, help us to feel forgiven and experience your forgiveness. And then help us to ask that prayer to change me, Lord. And God, change us. Actually change us and show us how we're being changed. Don't let us settle for not engaging with you as much as we're able to. In Jesus' name, we pray.